Now that brings us here to one of the most beautiful incidents. It's a scintillating story. It's flashing with light. It's fragrant with meaning, and it's lovely to look at. And I'm going to let Luke tell this to us. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, this is an incident that only Dr. Luke records. And it's a remarkable incident, by the way, so remarkable that we can't pass it by here without saying something about it. Now, we are told here that he came back to his hometown. And generally, the hometown is proud of the local boy. Nazareth was his hometown. And we're told, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He never entertained the false notion that you can worship God in nature as well as in the appointed place. Now, I enjoy playing golf, but I get a little weary of hearing some man say very piously, "I can worship God just as easy on the golf course on Sunday as I can in church." And you know what the answer to that is? The answer is, you can. But the question I always put to a man that says that to me is, "Well, when you go out to the golf course and take your golf bag on Sunday morning, do you go out to worship or to play golf?" And, you know, invariably they begin to hum and haw. And I said, "Now, don't kid me. You go out to play golf, don't you? You really don't go out to worship God. And the fact of the matter is, you don't worship God." Now, I said, frankly, I think there's something wrong with any person that gets a golf bag, goes out on a golf course, and says, "I'm out here to worship God." I think a man like that, you ought to call the wagon with the man with the little white coat to come and get him and take him away. Now, frankly, I go to church on Sunday to worship God. I go out on the golf course on Monday morning to play golf, and I don't go out there to worship God. Now, many times I've had to stop and do stop and just look around at the glorious scenery, and I just thank God for the privilege of being there. But my friend, I go out there to play golf. Something wrong with you if you do it any other way than that. The custom of our Lord was to go into the synagogue. Now, just a moment. Did you notice where he went? The synagogue. The synagogue grew up during or after the Babylonian captivity. And by the time of our Lord, it had degenerated into that which was not in the purpose of God at all. If there had been an evangelical place to worship God, I think he would have gone there. But he attended that which was in existence in his day, and it was far from God. And I do not know whether some brethren today would have said to him, "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." He went to the synagogue, and that's the only comment that I can make. I say to stay where you can bear a testimony for God. And if you can't bear a testimony for God, then get out of the place. There are too many folk today, though, that are just hanging on, and they know they don't have a testimony. They're staying in a liberal church because Grandpa happened to be the man who built the place, or he gave the land, or he was the head deacon, or he was the pastor of the church. Well, my friend, if that place has departed from the faith, you have no business being there. But if you've got a witness, then hang around, because we ought to be around where we can give a witness today. Now, will you notice, as is custom, he attended regularly. I can now fill in one day of the silent years, one day of seven, I should say. Every seventh day, he went to the synagogue, the silent years. Now, I don't know too much about the other 6 days. He was a carpenter, and he worked those days. But he went to the appointed place of worship because he could witness there. Now, there was handed to him the book, and he read in it. And what book did he read in? Well, he read in Isaiah. What chapter did he read? Well, he didn't read in any chapter because the Bible wasn't divided into chapters and verses in that day. But in my Bible, it happened to be chapter 61 of Isaiah, verse 1. If you have your Bible there, stay with Luke, the 4th chapter, and watch, beginning with verse 18, and I'll read what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort them that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, etc., and etc. And I'll not read any more, because the point I want to make is right here. Do you notice where he broke off the reading? It says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister. Well, when you go back and read that, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he didn't even stop at the end of a sentence. He stopped at the end of a comma. There wasn't even a comma in that day. He didn't mention the next, the day of vengeance of our God, and what is to follow after that. You know why? Because he looked at that crowd and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, here is a passage of scripture that was going to be fulfilled down to a comma. And the other part won't be fulfilled till he comes back the second time. Here is his interpretation of Scripture. I like his lots better than I like some of the modern commentators, by the way. This was fulfilled up to this. The day of vengeance has not come. The time when he said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. How is he going to get them? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. That's the way he's coming to power. That's the day of vengeance. That's the great day of the Lord. That will take place when he comes the second time. We're living in this wonderful day when he was anointed of the Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor. And what was that? That poor sinners might be saved today. That's the glorious message that he came to give.